Here we are. We're in Fresh Fruit. We're getting near the end of this. I want to bring you to Galatians 5 as you're turning to that. And Pete has it up on the screen. Thank you, Pete. I want to let you know that if you've missed any of these, like Pastor John said, you could go back and listen slash watch any of the messages that we have. And I was reminded multiple different ways this week that I am just kind of one person. I am not able to be anybody other than me. And if you don't know this about me, I'll tell you, I've tried to be other people off and on throughout the 51 years I've been on this planet. Even to the point at one juncture in my life, I didn't know what my voice was because I did so many different impersonations and tried to fit into so many different places. Like Sean, right? From Missouri. If we talk for like an hour, I would pick up a good chunk of his accent.
Sorry.
Not me. I think it's great. I don't know that I want my brain surgeon to have that accent, but you know, whatever. I'll just play. Oh, no, come on. These are jokes that I didn't make up. No. But seriously, I don't have the ability to be Kevin Kavanaugh or John Merwin or Billy Graham or anybody else that's amazing. I get to be the amazing that God's called me to be. And I'm going to plant water in that spirit and watch God make it grow. So here we go. Galatians 5. I want you to remember that as we're reading this, this isn't the fruit of church. This isn't the fruit of a good Bible study. This isn't the fruit of a pastor. This isn't the fruit of your grandma. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's look at this again really quick. It'll be up on the screen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Gosh, we've talked about that. We talked about goodness. We're going to talk about faithfulness today. And as that, like, grabs a hold of you, I want to ask you if you find yourself being motivated to live these things out because God actually models all this for you. Gentleness is next, and we're looking at that next week, and I'm super excited to look at who the most gentle is ever, and that's God. And then self-control. Of all of these, he doesn't actually have to model self-control for us, although Jesus did as a man. But God, there's no need for self-control. But for us, there is. And I want to say a very blunt statement. God is faithful. God is faithful. What do you understand faithful to be, your faithfulness? And if you guys are high up there, by the way, now I can see you. Now I can't. All right, great. So what's faithful? What's faithfulness? What? Just give me a quick definition of what that means to you.
Consistent.
Stick-to-itiveness. Love it. What's that?
Reliable.
Reliable. Good.
Good work. Doing work.
Good to his word. He's good to his word. Gosh. You know what? I don't know if you guys know this, but quite a few years ago, my father-in-law, he's passed away now, and he's with Jesus, so thankful for that. But quite a few years ago, he retired from Hostess Bakery. He worked there for 50 years. That got national coverage. Like, literally, he was, Charles Gibson was saying some, Joe Traxler, what an icon. I'm like, what? That's so nuts. It's because that kind of faithfulness, both from a company and from a worker, is really unheard of now. Stick-to-itiveness, good to your word, following through. These are all things that God is. If he's not faithful, then you and I don't have a chance. We just don't. And so I really wanted to unpack his faithfulness. And so I just cherry-picked three really cool verses. Now, some of you Bible geeks like me are like, Aaron, you could have done so many more. Yep. I just handpicked a few of them. Psalm 33:4 is where I'm going to start. You can join me there, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit. But my next two are in 1 Corinthians, so we can tie up on that. But here's Psalm 33:4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Not some of his work, not most of his work, not when you're outside of seasonal affect disorder, then he's faithful. All of his work is done in faithfulness. This is who God is. Now join me in 1 Corinthians 10, please. And Pete, thanks for being quick on the draw for us there. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to go actually to 1, and then we'll go to 10. The 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God called you in faithfulness, that he wouldn't just say, hey, come follow me and I'll catch up with you in a few. Gosh, one time I went to work with my dad. My dad loves me. He loves my mom. He loves my brothers. He loves all the family that came along with that. But he married my mom with two boys. And he took me to work with him. He was a cable guy. You guys remember Viacom? Cablevision? He worked for them. And he took me to this really cool kind of, I think it was Magnolia, I can't remember, but we were up kind of on a bluff and overlooking some water, and then the city was there, so I'm pretty sure it was Magnolia. But he's like, all right, hey, you go out there, wait for me, I'm going to turn the truck around so I can get out of this cul-de-sac. And I'm like, okay. And so I go out, and I'm looking at this neighbor's house, and all of a sudden I see my dad driving away. And I lose my little 10-year-old mind. Dad! I'm just crying. I start running down the street. He's turning around to get me. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you so freaked out? I'm like, I thought you were leaving. Why would I leave you? I don't know. He's like, I told you I was coming back. Look, my dad loved us. He adopted me when I was 7. He gave me his name. He made me and my brother his boys. Why would he ever leave me? And yet, he's a dude. He's a human. God is faithful by whom you were called. He didn't call you and then set you off to the side, no matter how much it feels like that. He's way better than my dad ever could be. And my dad is a pretty cool dude. Now to 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is probably one of the most misquoted Bible verses. I want you to hear it in its entirety here. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So nothing new is hitting you in temptation. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful. You and I are going to be tempted, and there's nothing new. It's all been coming at us since the first two people, right? And yet, he says, you won't be tempted beyond what you can handle without me giving you a way out from underneath. Who can misquote this for me the way the world does? And if we're being honest, the way many of us Christians have misquoted it. Anybody? God won't let anything bad happen to you. Was that what you were going to say, Ellie?
Yep, he'll never give you more than you can handle.
Yeah, I mean, no offense, but that's straight up hogwash.
Yep.
God won't let you get anything beyond what you can handle. Okay, just so we can say how much hogwash it is, we're going to start with Craig and go all the way around and say how he... No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, we all understand this. He's not saying he won't give you. And it even goes deeper than that. He says, God is faithful. So first start there. His faithfulness, he never fails. Sing about it. Talk about it. Read about it. Believe it. He is faithful. And he won't let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he'll also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So with this, when God faithfully calls you, when all of his works are done in faithfulness, when he won't let you get tempted beyond something that your ability won't be able to handle without a way out from underneath it. Remember, we talked just a couple weeks ago about Peter walking on the water. That was cool until he started sinking. Our eyes on Jesus is how we don't fail. His faithfulness comes out in our faithfulness. So I want to tell you that if you're God's people, you're faithful. But before we were on the scene, there was tons and tons and tons of other faithful people. And if God's people are faithful, and God is the one who's faithful first, then I want to remind you what it says in Ephesians 2:8, that faith is a gift from God. Even our faithfulness comes from God. Dear friend, I'm going to be this way, broken record, for the rest of my life. It's all about God. It's his faithfulness that allows us to be faithful and allows those who do this in the faith train, right? We're all over the map, but he's not, and he's faithful. He complete the work that he begins in us, Philippians 1:6, Ephesians 2:8. Look, you can't be saved by anything other than grace, and this is through faith, and that's even a gift. It ends up being about you and I being made alive by him and walking that out. How do I walk it out? He works in you to will for his good purpose. It's so rad. But we've got this wonderful chapter in the Bible called Hebrews 11. And it's this wonderful list of people who are faithful. 16 different people or groups that were faithful. 23 plus times in these verses. I want to remember how many verses it goes all the way to. 40. So over half of it you hear by faith or in faith. And then you get into faithfulness and all that. It's even more. So over half the verses have by faith in it. And we're going to find out a little bit about this. And it's these people that went before us and the model that they were for us. So join me in what's been called the Hall of Faith, will you? Hebrews 11. And I'll go verses 1 through 3. We're going to jump around Hebrews 11 a little bit. I'm going to hone in on one particular couple. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Do you see how these tie in together, by the way, or the other fruit that we've already talked about? Patience in particular. We don't even have the word trust, but faithfulness is trusting. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Man, you guys, I could just hang there. Like, your faith in God almost seems like a misnomer. Like, we're just trusting. We hope that he comes. Hope? Faith? He comes through. But we're humans, and we struggle, and we need Jesus. And he's like, look, it's trusting me, because I made everything, God says, out of nothing. What you and I see in the wind and all of this unbelievable power, God spoke into existence out of nothing. Jump to verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Back to Pastor John's communion word. And then jump to verse 13. All these people died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. This is not my place. This is not where I end up. These are not the accoutrements that are going to make me who I am. God and his goodness, God and his faithfulness, that's where I trust. That's where I live. That's what I believe in. And dear friend, pain, agony, sin, death, all those things are reminders that this place is not your home. For people who speak thus, verse 14, make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. They're not in one, they're looking for one. If they'd been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I want to introduce you to two of the people in the Hall of Faith, Abraham and Sarah. I wish I had time to go all the way back to Genesis 3 and 12 and 15 and unpack all kinds of stuff for you, but I'm going to have to give you a snapshot. Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve have fallen, sin had entered the world, death had entered the world, and God tells the enemy, your seed is going to strike the woman's seed on the heel. And the woman's seed is going to crush your head. Like, this is a shout out to Jesus. And the seed that would be the Savior is Jesus. And you fast forward to Genesis 12, and a lot has gone down by this time. Flood and everything, right? Tower of Babel and all that. This wasn't a man trying to make a name for himself, but he was a pagan. He was an idol worshiper. God said, Abram, because he didn't even have the name Abraham at the time, you're my dude. I want you to come and join me. How did he know it was God's voice? That's another message for another time. But he knew enough to get up and go. There was nothing about Abram that made him extra special. What made him extra special was the faithfulness of God. One more time. What made him special was the faithfulness of God. And remembering that is what allows us to respond to God's faithfulness, is that he's always faithful. And I can do more in him than I could ever hope to do with every bit of power, money, and people. Because he's the one that gives it to him. He says, you're going to be a blessing to the whole entire world. I'm going to bless you that you would be a blessing. Sweet. And then something crazy happens in Genesis 15. He promises him that he's going to be this great nation in 12. And that all kinds of stuff's going to go down. And he's going to have nations come from him. And he's childless. Chapter 15, God shows up and talks with Abraham a little bit and Abram and says, look, you're going to be this great nation. Reminding him again, I meant it. And he's like, okay, but I don't really have anybody. How's that going to work out? And God causes him to go into a deep sleep. So he's out of it and he's got this vision that's happening. These animals get cut in two. And what would happen back in that day, they make an agreement, they make a covenant together, like Damon and I would commit on behalf of one another. We would cut an animal in half and we would walk between the two halves and say, may we end up like these two pieces if we don't stay together. But here's the cool thing. Abram was watching it. And a torch goes bouncing through all those animals that were cut in two. One torch. The torch is God. And he said, I'm taking up both sides of the covenant. I'm the one that's faithful. You just get to follow suit. And there's so much that happens, and God's people weren't faithful. And he kept coming after him, kept coming after him. He finally became them, and his name is Jesus, and he died for us. But he didn't just die for us. He died as us. And these are the people that we give these props to, and they were on a roller coaster, right? They were just a zoo. And yet they kept coming back to the one who is faithful, just like we get to do. And so we'll pick up their story, and I'm just going to read through it quickly. This is I'll go back to Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By the way, if you're going to be this great nation, you're going to need land. He was a nomad. God had to give him land. You're going to need people. He was a fatherless man. He was a childless man. He had a dad. My bad. You staying with me? All right. We're staying with you. Are you staying with you? All right. So, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Sean, when you said adios to your career, did you have it all figured out? Do you still have it all figured out? God bless you, bro. By faith. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. Listen to this. Since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born the descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Skip down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. If you don't know who Isaac is, go check out from 15 to 22. Isaac was the promised child. This was the faithful man that was called to trust God and believe God. He was told, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to have lots of them, and he didn't quite believe it, so he and his wife rigged up a little something that a servant woman from Egypt would be the surrogate mama. And it wasn't the one promised. And yet God was faithful and kind to him, but said, that ain't it. I got one for you, and his name's Isaac. And so, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. He was going to kill him because God told him to sacrifice him. Now, by this time in Abraham's life, there was a lot of faithfulness. He grew in it, just like we get to grow in it, by testing it and stretching it and getting your muscles strong in faith by exercising it. Not when you got it all figured out, but when you trust that God does. And so he's like, all right, I'll offer up my son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Like the savior of the world was going to come through this dude. But go ahead and offer him up. What? Check it out in Genesis 22, by the way. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead. If I have to kill him, God will raise him from the dead. Figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I want to unpack more of that. You'll have to go, and if you've been reading along with us, you've already read it, and hopefully something fresh and new will come, but there's these guys that were in the past, and that's cool, and we need that, and we get to run with them, but now it's our turn. Church, it's our turn. In Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, ought to give you a boost if you haven't been boosted yet. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, what you couldn't do, but he did for you. Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, he died for us. Remember the faithful covenant and God keeping it all the way? You and I could not keep the covenant on our own. We needed him to do it for us. We just had communion. We believed that he died because we needed him to. And since we have this great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. By the way, some of you are struggling with faith even this very moment while you're hearing this, and he already knew it. He said, you're going to be sprinkled clean. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Catching that message today? He's faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Can I get preachy for a second? As if I'm asking for your permission, right? I mean, I'm going to say it anyways. You guys, we have stirred one another up towards disunity and challenge and harshness enough. Enough. Stir one another up to love and good works. Look, man, when I was growing up, yo mama jokes were like funny, but they were really harsh. And a lot of the people that I grew up with, the only parent they had was a mama. And we would stir people up. We'd say stuff about their mom, trying to get them all riled up just to watch and laugh at them. I've long repented of that. But I don't know if you caught how good God is, because I didn't organize this today. We've got a man who works for the state who said, I can't do it. I prayed about it, fasted about it. I can't do it. And he's had to find a new job, and God is faithful. But this is a lot. There's a ministry that he had where he worked. We have a woman who's no less prayerful and no less in a tough spot who also works for the state, and she's getting her second shot. The first one almost killed her. Let's stir these people up to love and good works. Stay faithful, friends, because God's faithful first. Not neglecting to meet together. Would you please stop using that as your proof text for telling people if they stay home, they're faithless? I'm done with that. Trust God, believe God, have faith, do what he's calling you to do. I'm not chewing your food for you. I can't walk out your faith. Do you remember? We got Jesus rise from the dead, and he catches up with Peter after he's risen from the dead and says, hey, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Go feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He asks him a second time. Yeah, you know I love you. Good. Take care of my sheep. Hey, let me ask you a third time, Pete. Do you love me? Yes, you know everything. It's starting to get offensive now. He says, take care of my sheep. Hey, when you were young, you could do what you wanted to do. But when you get older, you're going to stretch out your arms and you're going to go a place you don't want to go. And he was telling Peter, you're going to die for your faith. Now, he had denied Jesus three times, said he never would, but he did it three times. Jesus called the shot, and then he actually comes back, rises from the dead, and says to Peter, look, I love you. Let me reinstate you. Three times I came at you. Now I'm telling you, you're going to die for your faith. You know what Peter's response was? What about him? He turns around and points back at John and says, what about him? And Jesus says, what does it matter to you if he lives forever? You follow me. Well, my wife, hey, that didn't work out so well for Adam, did it? Well, my husband, well, my kids, well, my state, well, my job. Trust God. Have faith in God. He makes all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Yes or no? Okay, then here we are, right here at the end. Don't neglect meeting together as the habit of some. Hey, I love you. I just said I'm not going to mock you, but if you're online and you're just more comfortable there and you don't want to get together with us, you need to get off your couch. If you're here and it's wrecking you to be here and you don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, it's okay to watch online. But don't get in the habit of not meeting. Get on the phone. Go outside if it's more comfortable for you. But it's raining. Okay. Me and a lot of other people tomorrow night are going to go out in the rain and watch a lame football team play another lame football team. Sorry. You guys, what I'm saying is don't neglect it. Don't put it away because we boost each other up towards love and good works in the faith that's been given to us. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I am not a date setter, but I will tell you about this. Yesterday, we were further from Jesus coming back than we are today. He's coming back. And not just because America's a hot mess. This world is a trash fire. And only Jesus puts it out by wiping it out and restoring it the way it's supposed to be. And we get a head start on living that out now. Would you stand with me as you're able as I read these last verses? We're going to Hebrews 10, 36 through 39. As you're standing, I want to remind you, in 19 through 25, we have confidence because of the blood of Jesus. You couldn't come up with that. You could just receive it. We have the ability to encourage one another towards love and good works, to inspire one another, to keep meeting together. We have tried for 14 years to have a vibrant small group ministry where people get together, and we've been told, you don't do this for us, you don't do that for us, and we don't. We've failed. But as I see it, we have the Bible, and we have breath in our lungs. Get together and encourage one another in Jesus. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance. We need to hang in there because we blow it and it's hard. So that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Then he launches into all the 16 people groups who just had faith and then didn't and then did. But they remember, this isn't all there is. Be encouraged. I know God has said something to you today. Receive from him. Walk it out in faith. Exercise your faith. Remember that you need him. Help my unbelief. I have the questions for you. I really want to ask, if you're looking for small group curriculum that's maybe average at best, all these questions would be average at best, but they can help you. I don't have to come up with anything. All right, just listen to the message and then we can discuss it. Gosh, just reminded this week how I'm not able to make everything work out for people the way other pastors can. Sweet. Dig in. Let me be at best for you, somebody that introduces you to Jesus and what he has in store for you. You go deeper and you teach me. But here's the one that I want to ask you to consider. I have this on question 3, Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That means cling to your confession of hope that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. All kinds of promises you could look up. Here's my question for you. What in your life will you give up to faithfully hold on to your living hope? Jesus. What has become bigger to you than Jesus? And how will you give that over to him? It's really hard to swim with all your clothes on. Get freed up. Confess, repent. He's called you to repentance. He's commanded you to repent. And to believe him, that he's faithful. He who makes the promises is faithful. Please don't get like some of these people, like, he promised you a truck. He promised you a really nice house. He promised you never to be sick. That's a lie. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised that he's got you in his righteous right hand and nobody can snatch you out. He's promised that he's faithful to complete the work he's begun in you. He's faithful, he's good, he's awesome. So remember that and encourage one another. Father, today is your day. I rejoice in that fact. I love you. Thank you that we could be strong and courageous and faithful because of you. Help us to be contagious as well, not keep it to ourselves, talk about it, chew on it, challenge one another, even debate one another, but at the end, encourage one another in Christ with love and to good works that you have created already in advance for us to do because you're faithful. God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.